Hi there, and welcome to Nika's Nuggets, where we sort through the happenings of life in search for the pebble in your shoe, the bears on the road, and the beliefs that keep you from moving swiftly along your path. Self-care, mental health, spirituality, and more nuggets to be found on the road forward. Are you coming? Once upon a time, this afternoon, I was worried about money. I was gnawing on the bone of scarcity and lamenting the need for money at all. But I've been doing that for years. I mean, let's be real. Who hasn't? But back when I first became aware of how much my worries had money at their center, the universe sent me a marvelous witch through the interwebs by the name of Carolyn Elliott. She's the author of Existential Kink, which is a wonderful magical practice to life that we'll definitely get into more. But we got to take it one episode at a time. So although she is perhaps a little bit out there, or likely because she's a little out there, she taught me some really fascinating history, magic rituals, and spells. And one of the major lessons I learned from her is on money. We started talking about this last episode, and I figured we'd just continue diving into this. So here is sort of my interpretation of it, what I learned from her. And I'll likely tell you how it works for me. So to begin at the beginning, we're all mostly raised with an inanimate worldview, which means we learn to think of plants, furniture, toys, animals, and so much more as, quote unquote, not people. Now, not people equal objects. Objects without thoughts, feelings, memories, desires, or any intentions of their own. Now, animals and plants, of course, do express themselves and are known to show pain and joy, among many other things, but still, quote unquote, not human. Dead is a word that is listed with synonyms for inanimate, by the way, so consider maybe what that says about how so many of us are taught to see the world. Point being, do you remember that as a kid, and I know actually a few of us still carry this instinct, you made friends or enemies with absolutely anything and anyone. You know, we played with our toys, we gave our stuffed animals names, we felt bad when we'd leave our doll or the cat at home alone, and so on and so forth. And as children, we can and we do relate to anything as another subject. A subject with its own thoughts, feelings, and desires. And children in this way tend to engage with what we know as animism all by themselves without any outside encouragement or even the knowledge of the existence of the concept of animism. There are also adults who choose to see the world this way, who have learned to see the world this way, thank gods. However, usually once we pass a certain age, it becomes like this weirdly politically charged belief. Now, considering all this, how do you feel, think, and act towards money? Money herself, as we noted last episode, lives when it flows. But rampant consumerism, exploitation, and devastation are not her choice, just as money was not her original face or name. But because we see and use it objectively, as we do everything else, we choose, consciously or otherwise, to use it for these things. So it ends up being this typical adult objectifying, inanimate, remember, dead worldview that's really the cause of ecological devastation and the exploitation of others. Cultivating the willingness to stop pretending that the world around us is made of objects and giving all of it, including money, the respect and recognition of their own agency is a really big step towards a healthier relationship to money as well as your environment. Money functions as a store of power. The money you save for a rainy day, for example, stores up the power to spend it later. And it serves as a medium of exchange of value, or rather, an exchange of desire. Value, as we saw last episode, is a term that's really hard to define than just with numbers. But really, only that which is desired has any value to us. So really, money sits at this charged intersection of desire and power. To express your desire with money, i.e., buying what you want, you have to be willing to part with a portion of your stored up power, your savings. And in order to make wise decisions when it comes to money, it is important that you learn to balance your internal forces of desire and power. Money is the only spirit to have ever been fully banned from the spirit realm. And we'll get into that next episode. But as such, money is both a non-dual and a dual entity. And this is why there is such a huge shadow side to her and why we have such mixed feelings about her. And part of this shadow side is the balance that you need to cultivate between desire and power. As such, it is important to recognize that money equals life. We spend time, life, earning money. Every time you receive money, you receive it from another person, which means that every time you receive money, you are taking some of their life and absorbing it into your own. To save or extend yours. So, this is a type of energetic cannibalism, and sensitive people tend to feel this exchange of life force either on like an atomic or a physical level. And sometimes it's just this lingering thing in the back of your mind that you can't ever really put a finger on. But it's this sense of cannibalism. And you end up considering it a bad thing. You end up rejecting and shying away from money, which means it's hard to come by. However, this is life. You are always consuming something or other in order to survive, right? I mean, you eat, you drink, you need energy. If this makes you feel the ick, consider the following. Even if you consume as little as possible and as ethically as possible, and you lovingly allow others to consume from you, you can still only be consumed within the extent of your body. Right? And the same can be said for your wealth. Others can only live off of it for as far as you have accumulated it. So accumulating wealth to a point is necessary for others to consume it. Or in, some more savory words, the cup. Your cup needs to be filled or overflowing for you to be able to pour from it into other cups. How does this change your view of money? How do you feel about her now? Thank you for joining me and listening. This is obviously not the end of the story, so stay tuned for more. Next time, we'll dig into the dirt for a new nugget and possibly clear some rocks from the road. Don't forget to like, follow, or subscribe, and check out nomadicnika.com for more. I am your host and awareness coach, Nika, and I hope I see you next time. Oh, You can also find me on Instagram at nomadic.nika if you're interested in seeing photos from trips, some of my favorite quotes, and some poetry that I've written myself, possibly another source for some extra potential nuggets.